Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Fred, I will have you know that my the entire second half of my trip back from Houston yesterday was dedicated to you because I got into like a keen mood I was listening to songs like this, which I was very happy with actually. A big fan of Keane. I'm a big fan of Keane. So I put a little Keane on the bumper music list today. And then I've been watching. I'm going to tell you about the grandson in a second here, but let's talk a little baseball. Watching the World Series. How about Freddie Freeman?
It is a fastball. It's ripped down the line. It is gone! A fifth consecutive World Series game with a Freddie Freeman home run.
Wow. You know, I don't really like either of these teams, but I love that guy. And I certainly don't like the Braves, but I've always been such a big Freddie Freeman fan. It doesn't look good for the New York Yankees. And I'm going to try to do something here, ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, just briefly. If you're a Yankees fan, and I have many friends that are Yankees fans, most prominently my friends John and Jeannie Sullivan from Pet Supplies Plus, you guys should automatically lose this World Series for putting this idiot on the national television stage. This guy, Sue, did you see this by any chance? They introduced this guy, Fat Joe, who I don't know who he is. Maybe they do in New York, but listen to this. He's a rapper. He goes out there. He's the only one on the field, and he's trying to get, you know, 50,000 fans, 48,000 of which are not paying attention to him, get whipped up into a frenzy. I mean, honestly. Yeah,
it sounded as bad as it did just there.
It was embarrassing. Well, how
Wait,
could
when
someone.
Was that?
It was right before the first pitch last night. Right before the first pitch, somebody at the New York Yankees decided, hey, here's a good idea. Let's throw this on national television. So, sorry, Yankees. You deserve to lose the World Series. You kind of deserve to get swept for putting that moron up on national television last night. Now, let me tell you about Houston, Texas. Because I had a great trip. I drove on Thursday night down to Little Rock. I had never been to Little Rock before. Kind of nice little skyline in Little Rock.
It's nice.
Yeah, I like that. Then I hit the road first thing Friday morning, got to Houston to visit my son. They live in an area called the Heights, which is a beautiful area. It's kind of ritzy. They are not in necessarily a ritzy apartment. They're in a townhouse. But everything around them, Sue, I don't know if you know that area because your brother lives there.
A little, not much.
Great restaurants. My son, as you know, Sue, is in the restaurant industry. He works at a restaurant called Squabble. It is James Beard nominated.
Delicious.
I had brunch there on Sunday, and it was incredible. This
so
French toast that they put together,
and
I didn't even order the French toast. They sent one out. Oh, my God. Unreal. But here's what I didn't realize about our great country is because if I'm going to go to Denver tomorrow, let's say I'm going to go to Pennsylvania and visit with Selena Zito or something, you can generally get on an interstate or two and take that right to your exit, right? Not so much with the southern part of this country because it was very confusing. You got to take a lot of different turns. I'm not exactly sure how we all did it when we had maps and we didn't have GPS. I also am a firm believer that my GPS might have screwed me up just a little bit on this trip, but it was a little confusing, and I was rather stunned that there's not more of a direct route. Now, I was driving in our state, and I kept seeing signs. By the way, one thing I will say, a lot of turns, the roads are in good shape, though.
Oh, okay? Good.
So I wasn't on bumpy roads or bad roads or anything like that. They were relatively good.
Well, this is the first time you met your grandson. How was it?
I'll get to that in a second.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's just odd to not have an interstate, but they say future I-57. So I think you're going to have better infrastructure thanks to the taxpayers. My grandson was awesome. It was great. I mean, you know, now he's I'm so bummed out that I had to come back. He is very cute. I put some pictures up on the Instagram and also on Twitter earlier today. Idris is 8 weeks old this week. Mom went back to work yesterday, so that's kind of an adjustment. I felt, you know, leaving, I had to get back here to work, but it's tough because this is going to be a week of change for them. And, you know, I'm worried about my son because that's what you do. I will say this, Fred, you're going to maybe appreciate this. A lot of you out there know this already. I'm just going to admit it is a very, very strange and rather awe-inspiring experience to see your own kids become parents.
Oh, I bet.
You know,
that's just got to be weird.
It's well, because my son has just embraced this in such a wonderful, loving way. And you don't know. And this was a surprise. This was not something they planned on, right? And they're not in a socioeconomic position to have, you know, $17,000, $20,000 a year on daycare. So it's a different circumstance. But yeah, it was a great trip. I do believe, despite the roads, I'm going to be probably taking that trip on a regular basis.
Good.
Flying, it's tough for all three of us to get in, you know, on an airplane and then rent a car and an Airbnb and all that. So unfortunately, driving is a little less complicated despite the time it takes.
Were you able to make any progress or inroads on perhaps getting them to move back?
There were seeds that were planted. You know, it's not as if his father doesn't know a lot of people in the restaurant industry, like my friend Kevin Nash and et cetera here in St. Louis. But look, they're going to have to figure things out. You know, I want them to. She's got family down there. I don't know how this is going to kind of turn out in the end, but now I'm even, you know, because now you get to meet the little grandbaby and I already miss him and Becky does as well. So we're hoping that maybe they move back up here eventually. They're coming in for Thanksgiving though.
Did you finally land on a term of endearment for yourself?
No, I avoided that because my son and Natalie were the only ones there. So nobody even dropped the G word on them. I think she said something like, oh, you being fussy for grandpa. That was like one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're still working on that.
I should have gotten hold of them and told them about Dodo.
Oh, they know about Dodo because I sent the audio, believe me.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
I am shocked they did not immediately embrace that. Fred, am I right?
Oh, it's yeah, so totally. I love it.
Yeah, okay. Well, on this day, first of all, it's National Cat Day.
Awesome.
So that applies to Mark. It used to apply to Abby. Ethan, do you have a cat?
No.
So see, we've only got one.
I've got three cats. My son that I just visited with has two cats. So we are cat people.
All right. There
you go.
We're
also dog people. We are cat people.
You are kind of both, which is good. 95 years ago today, on this day in history, it was 1929. That's right. The stock market crashed. It wiped out the fortunes of thousands of investors. The day came to be known as Black Tuesday, and it triggered the Great Depression, which lasted for 10 years. It's happy day in Sue's News, but I can't help it. It's 95. You know, my house was built in 1929, so I always think that. They must have gotten it finished before the crash, and then what do they do?
Yeah, that is.
Uh-huh. And 79 years ago today, this is so cool. It's 1945, and they've sold the first ballpoint pen. It cost $12.50, which is like $210 today.
Whoa.
The ballpoint pen was originally a really cool thing and rare, and it was $12.50.
So what did we use up until then?
Quills.
Inkwells and the old
pencils. Right?
Wow.
Yeah. Fred, we mined our own lead. That's what we did, and we stuck it in pencils. And then 69 years ago today, in 1960, Cassius Clay boxed his first professional fight. That's right. Muhammad Ali had his first boxing match 64 years ago today.
Mark, can you remember growing up, maybe Sue too, how we would listen to boxing matches on radio, and they'd come in and just review the round.
Is that what they would?
And just tell you what happened in that previous round.
I came in like the Howard Cosell years. You know, when he had float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
I remember in junior high, and I don't remember, we could probably narrow it down. I don't know if it was the Rumble in the Jungle or one of those other things. That, I'm on a school bus with the junior high basketball team, of which I was a manager because I wasn't good enough to be on the team. Like, I was literally the water
Listen,
guy.
We've all been
But
there.
I loved the executive producer.
I had a passion for it, so I did. But we were on the school bus to Kankakee, Illinois, listening to a fight on the radio.
1973,
something like that.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Maybe a little later than that, now that I think about it, because if I was in junior high, that would have been later than 73.
Oh, okay.
Nobody knew that, but I had to flag myself. So.
Well, thank goodness.
Fact is.
Because this is Sue's News. Terry Garr passed away today at 79, and I just loved her. I remember her most from Mr. Mom, but we also remember her from Tootsie. Do we have that sound? I think we do.
We do. And, you know, I mentioned this earlier this year. I rewatched Tootsie this year.
This is another girl's candy.
Oh, come on, I wouldn't give you another girl's candy, I swear.
Well, then whose is it?
Mine.
A guy named Les is sending you candy?
Yes, he's a friend of mine. He can't eat candy, he's diabetic.
Why is he thanking you for a lovely night in front of the fire?
She was just awesome. And one of the things that I mentioned this at the time, I think it was even this calendar year in the spring when I rewatched it, and I said, I'd forgotten how damn good Terry Garr was in that movie. And how good she was always.
Right, and yes. I loved her in Mr. Mom. If that's another great one. See, I love
79.
Oh, so good. Yeah. All right. She learned to dance when she was little. Here's what I learned about her today. Her dad was a vaudeville comedian and her mom was a rockette. So she was a dancer early, and she was in all of those, well, a lot of those old Elvis movies as dancer in the background. And then she got Young Frankenstein.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and she played Gene Hackman's girlfriend in the movie The Conversation in 1974. That was her big break.
Okay, now this is, now that you've reminded me of that, I watched both Tootsie and The Conversation within a period of about, you remember I went through these 70s movies. I watched them probably in a period of 2 months, and she was great in that as
well. Yeah, she was. And Michael Keaton just waxed, just he can't shut up about how great she was working with her in Mr. Mom, which I love him, I love her, so everybody's happy.
And I remember her from a guest starring role in Star Trek with William Shatner.
Really? Oh yeah, my gosh, she was in one episode. Bread.
She was like the secretary to an alien.
It's Star Trek, people. The McDonald's broken McFlurry machine problem might finally be solved. You know, every time you go, you can't get it. It's broken. Yes. That's just how it is. The reason it's always broken is because a company called Taylor has exclusive rights to repair them. They own the exclusive rights for everything. So McDonald's just had to wait around for a Taylor person to show up and fix it. But now that's changing after the U.S. Copyright Office weighed in and they granted an exemption that gives companies like McDonald's the right to repair the darn things themselves. So it should be fine. I can't believe you have to get an exemption to do that.
Listen, this isn't just a win for McDonald's. This is a win for the people.
Win for America, Ethan.
It is a win for America, Ethan.
Who are they getting the exemption from? Does it say?
I guess the Taylor contract, right?
Okay.
Public Knowledge. You can thank a group called Public Knowledge in the website ifixit.com. They filed the exemption request after iFixit ripped apart a McFlurry machine last year, trying to figure out what the heck the issue was, and they said, this isn't hard to repair. So that's what happened. It's very interesting. All right, it's Halloween again, and yearly we discuss the candy corn. Mark, yes or no, candy corn?
Definitely no.
Thank you. Ethan, candy corn.
Yeah.
Oh, see, really? There's always one. Fred.
There's a huge bag in the newsroom I have not touched.
Thank you, Fred.
And we have a little bit here by Lewis Black about candy corn. This is one of my favorites.
Candy corn, but using the word candy to describe it is wrong. Using the word corn is wrong. It does not taste like candy nor corn. It tastes like something that was made out of oil.
Yes!
You could take all the bags of candy corn, and actually, if you melted them down, you could run a car.
I think that's true.
All the candy corn that was ever made was made in 1914. They never had to make it again. We never eat enough of it. We only eat two or three or four pieces a piece. Literally after Halloween, the candy corn companies send out their minions. And they go from garbage can to garbage can and collect the corn and throw it back in the bag.
Yes, that's what happens.
It is.
And it appears next year.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love Lewis Black, and he nailed it. Everything, that's 100% true.
100%.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And this is for you, Mark. Vince Gill is not that impressed by playing shows at the Sphere. Now, Mark went and saw a show there. I saw U2 last year. I haven't seen the Eagles show. But he said that he's played there with the Eagles. He said, quote, "It's the most people I've ever been ignored by."
Well, and his point is well taken, because no one's looking at the band. They're all looking above the band at the visuals.
That's exactly right. He said, you're playing and you're looking at the stuff. Wait, you're playing and they're looking at the stuff on the ceiling. They're not paying any attention to you at all. They're just like, oh, I'm in the sphere.
Which is exactly why, and by the way, my friend Rick Niner, who went to, you know, I went U2 with him, he's seen the Eagles show, and he even said, as a concert experience, it's very different, right? So as a concert, it does lack the energy because everyone's looking at the visuals.
Yeah.
But it's unique. There's no doubt.
Are concerts the only thing that go on there?
Movies.
Good question.
No, there's a Sphere experience that Darren Aronofsky, who's a director, put together that's a special movie just for the Sphere. I have not seen that, but people like that rather well. Yeah, but I mean, there's still a lot of opportunities for the Sphere to do other things, you know, along the lines of being a venue. I don't know where it takes them, but that is interesting that Vince Gill said. You know, when we had Mike Del Judas on from Billy Joel's band, I'd never heard this referred to this way, and I've told a couple of friends of mine who are musicians about this. He says he calls it the up and out, and it's a little bit different with Sphere, but play along here. So if you're in Enterprise Center, a concert, man, all that music, or if you're in the pageant or the factory, the music is staying inside that venue. You can feel it. If you're in a football stadium or a baseball stadium, it all goes up and out, right?
Right.
And at the Sphere, it kind of does that too. It kind of goes up. It doesn't go out, but it goes up.
Round.
Yeah.
That's so,
it's
weird.
It's unique.
Let me ask you, does it soften it? Does that make sense? Like it goes up and then it kind of gets softened?
I don't know, Sue, because I'm paying so much attention to the visuals.
Oh,
that would be my
point.
Answer.
I want to say that I do want to say that one of the four major sports is having a draft there pretty soon, though.
Sure, they're going to do other things like that.
That's cool.
That would not surprise me. I think they've talked about MMA fights as well.
That'd be interesting.
In Sphere.
And finally, at Sue's News, we have today's random fact, and it is this: the stem of a pumpkin is called a peduncle. Take that. And enjoy.
I've never heard that one before. That's different than a pediddle, though.
I'm enjoying it.
Yes, yep.
Isn't the pediddle when you just have one light on a car?
I don't know what's happening.
You know that? Like a car is coming toward you. There's just one light. The other one's out. That's a pediddle, right?
Pediddle.
Right. Thank you. This is a peduncle.
Really? I didn't know that.
All right. We're coming back. A little more keen for Fred here, though, first.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Friday morning, I hit the road really early. I stayed in Little Rock on Thursday night, heading to Houston to visit my son and his girlfriend and my new grandson. And on Friday morning, I'm popping around. I was listening to Fox, listening to CNN, trying to absorb politics. I knew that I was going to listen to the Rogan podcast, which I think was maybe even recorded on Friday when I came back. But I heard this story about what was happening in Virginia. Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia, jumped on with the team at Fox. And I'm so confused by how a federal judge could have made a decision that restored the voting rights of 1,600 people who are not legally in this country. So I immediately thought of our friend Ilya Shapiro, who is one of our great constitutional law experts here on 97.1 FM Talk. There's other elections issues that we can ask him about. Ilya, how are you this afternoon? Welcome back. Oh, I think I have to hang on. You know what happens here in this situation? The host is gone for a couple of days, and then he doesn't hit the right button, and that's what happened. Ilya, take two. You know, I was only gone for 3 days, and I already got rusty on my new control board here. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm all right. You timed this perfectly. I'm just exiting a tunnel in New York right now as we speak, although I heard you perfectly throughout it, the wonders of technology. But look, what's going on here, this hit me strange as well. I'm from Virginia. I think I know a little about Virginia law. This isn't a question of Virginia law. It's a question of federal law, the National Voter Registration Act, otherwise known as Motor Voter. And it says that 90 days before an election, you cannot do kind of systematic housekeeping of your election rolls. That is, people that might have moved, you know, something else that's wrong with their their voter registration for some reason, things like that. Now, Virginia has had a law, and this isn't something new that Youngkin just did. Virginia has had a law since, I believe, 2006, where they periodically clean their rolls for non-citizens. This is different from the program that cleans it for if you've moved, re-registered somewhere else, all these other things. What Youngkin did and what triggered this lawsuit in August, well, what Youngkin did in August, the lawsuit came a little later, was he said rather than wait for monthly reports about non-citizen registrations that we then clean out, let's do it daily. And so he did kind of updated the way that Virginia was doing what it had been doing for a long time, had never been sued over. And lo and behold, 2 months after he issued this order, we're now in October, now in this month, came this lawsuit. So they sat on their hands, these so-called voting rights groups, and they sued him. And this judge, I think, made an erroneous interpretation of the federal law because what Virginia is doing is clearing the rolls of people who are not allowed to vote, period. It's not that they registered in the wrong place.
Right.
It's not that they didn't submit an ID. It's they checked the box saying, I'm not a citizen. Now, it doesn't mean that they're fraudulently trying to register. It's just the way that motor voter works. You go to DMV, you check a box. But they also clearly checked a box. I'm not a citizen. They're not trying to, right, you know, claim that they are.
Yeah, that's not that. That's something that's important to note. And when I was listening to the coverage on Friday morning, they made that point over and over again that they admitted that they weren't here legally, right?
Right, right. I don't think there's any allegation that they're trying to vote illegally. They're just, this is what, yep, Virginia's doing to clean its rolls.
Right.
And so now the Fourth Circuit, the federal appellate court, refused to stay the lower court's decision. So now on Sunday night, gosh, sometimes I'm glad I'm not an everyday practicing lawyer. They worked over the weekend to do this. They filed an emergency motion for stay with the Supreme Court. And now we're on Tuesday. I haven't checked. I just got off a plane. I haven't checked whether the Supreme Court has ruled. There are some time-sensitive issues here based on when Virginia has to do things ahead of an election that's, of course, a week from today. But that's where we are now.
But Ilya, just so I know specifically, the legal basis that the judge ruled on last week, and then another judge upheld this, right? They're basing that on this notion that you can't do things in the lead up, this quiet period lead up to the election, or am I misinterpreting that?
That's right.
Okay.
In the 90, you're correctly calling it the quiet period. That's a technical legal term, 90 days before an election. You cannot systematically do housekeeping on your rolls. You can do it on an individualized basis. If you find out that somebody's moved and tries to re-register, you can, like, dedupe them from the registration rolls and things like that. But the argument here is whether this systematic thing that Virginia has been doing since 2006 is different because Youngkin has asked the election authorities to do it daily rather than monthly. And again, this involves not kind of normal housekeeping, but eliminating people who are not are self-declared not eligible to vote from the get-go.
So most regular people, when they hear about this, I think they have the reaction that I did on Friday, which is, how in the world can a federal judge in the United States of America? Now, I understand that the law is very specific and, you know, there's nuance here, but how in the world can a federal judge and then another federal judge rule in any way, shape or form that someone who's not legally in this country has a right to be on any election roll? See, that just seems baffling,
yep,
I think, to people.
Yep. And especially there's another thing in federal election law called the Purcell principle, which is that you don't change the rules so close to the election. It's similar to that quiet period under the motor voter. But here the judge ordered Virginia with, you know, 10 days before the election. Now we're a week before the election to essentially create confusion among the local, county by county, precinct by precinct election officials to try to get these people who said they're not citizens back on the roll somehow. So, yeah, it violates a number of principles. So I hope the Supreme Court doesn't have to rule on the merits. That's a separate question. They can take up the issue, the legal issue, later after the election. But just to stay this district court ruling that on top of everything just came very late.
So my anticipation then would be there's a lot of lawyers that are gearing up for whatever's going to happen next week, and it is going to be a nightmare when it comes to some of these suits relating to the election. Wouldn't that be your sense at this point?
Absolutely. Unless we're beyond the margin of litigation, as it's called, unless there's a clear victor one way or another in enough states with a large enough electoral college win where some of these things become literally academic, I think the lawyers are going to be out in full force.
And do you have a gut check along those lines for what might happen next Tuesday, Ilya?
Well, I mean, I read the same polls as you do. You know, who cares what my vibe is or whatever? But
he might win.
I think it's going to come to the unsexy get out the vote operation.
Yeah.
I think all of the stuff that we're hearing about with, you know, Trump's rally and the video games that Tim Walz played with AOC, all that is nonsense. I think it's going to come down to the nuts and bolts, blocking and tackling of getting out the vote.
I agree. And one of the things that we kind of addressed earlier on the show is I voted this morning. I waited 70 minutes all in from the time I got in the line. We're hearing reports of other polling places being a lot more crowded than where I voted at Grand Glaze, which is one of the libraries here in St. Louis County. But my sense was, and I can't imagine this isn't true in other states, there'd be a fair amount of people that are going to get into these lines and say, I just can't do it. I can't wait for 90 minutes or 2 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I would advise people to take advantage of the early voting that now takes place in almost everywhere, and you know, go in the middle of the day tomorrow. You know, use the opportunities available so you're not rushing at the last moment.
Bring your AirPods, listen to the Mark Reardon Show. That's what I would say, Ilya. Thank you so much. Good luck with the final week. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care.
All right, take care. Sue, I have some listeners trying to keep you straight here this afternoon, and I'm doing a horrible job of promoting some of the elements of the show, so let me confess to that. Before we left for Houston, I promised on Tuesday, I believe today is Tuesday, can you confirm that today
is
Tuesday?
That is confirmed.
I said that I would do my audio voting guide. You know, Mark Cox took the time, he did something fancy, he typed it all out. I'm far too lazy for that.
That's
but
true.
I did offer an opportunity to guide people through the ballot. I am going to do that tonight. I had a listener who said, hey, he left a message. Hey, all last week, Mark said he was going to discuss propositions, had to wait the whole freaking weekend, would like to get an early vote if possible.
Yeah,
this person is depending on me for democracy, Sue.
I
really
think
wanna,
that's true.
You know, think of it that way. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the voting guide. We're going to, because I voted today, so I have even a better sense of that.
Good.
And one of the things that I do know is this next guest told us last week, and it was great advice. Read the ballot before you go in, because that's a smart thing to do. Rick Stream is here, the Republican Elections Director for St. Louis County. I thought we'd catch up with him. Rick, how are you? I'm guessing your office is pretty busy this week.
Yeah, we've been extremely busy, Mark. Thanks for having me on again. We have, in our office particularly, we've had over 2,000 voters every day. And for the 14 satellite locations together combined, since last Tuesday, we've had, counting today, we've had 120,000 voters. So it's just blown the doors off of our satellite locations, and we're happy about that. The county library system, which has provided most of our polling places, is being inundated. And if your listeners, anytime they get to the libraries, thank them for allowing us to be in there, because it's been very hard for them to take in essentially 1,500 voters in an 8.5 hour period in their building. So they've been very great. And but back
to let me just address that, because I went to Grand Glaze, which is off Merrimack Station, and it was great. Everyone except for the lady in front of me that was on FaceTime the whole time and then put a mask on before she voted, everyone else was being very respectful, and even people that were in the library could do library things as well. I was in line, Rick, I texted you, so it was 70 minutes all in, which that's not too bad. That's essentially what I've experienced on Election Day. I guess my assumption would be, because I was trying to, you know, game this a little bit. I thought, you know what? Tuesday morning seems like a time where there won't be a lot of voters. And I was extremely wrong. So
Wow. Are
the numbers of people voting every day actually going up, or are you not seeing any trend like that?
No, they're going up slightly every day. If they go to our website, we have a line tracker app where we have people counting the number of folks in line every half hour, and they can see how long the lines are at their particular locations. We had a lady came in today. She said, I saw the line at Clark Family Library. It was really, really long. I just came up to your office. Well, the line was slightly shorter, but I know you guys process voters quicker because you have more stations, and we do up here. We also have up here, Mark, at my office, 16 parking spaces for handicapped folks, physically disabled folks. They can stay in their cars, and we'll come out and vote them in their
nice.
Cars.
Now, I saw a couple of people. I don't know what the rules are, but there were a couple of people that were just grabbing a clipboard, and then they may have just even, you know, sat on a chair or on the floor and just filled out their ballot that way.
Sure. Yeah, in the locations, they don't have rooms that are huge in some of these library facilities. So we've got tables and protective screens, but if somebody wants to grab a clipboard and sit on the floor, they can do that too. Any way to fill out the ballot, it's a 20-inch ballot on both sides, and definitely folks should get their sample ballot. We mail to them. ahead of time, research it, and fill it out at home and bring it to the polling place.
Rick, you know, I didn't do this on the air, but when you said that last week, I'm like, I don't need to do that. Why does it? I'm a smart guy. I pay attention. Man, I'm so glad I read the ballot, because in that made things, I voted very quickly. Once I got my ballot, I knew exactly what I was doing. Now, I will say this, and I don't know how people handle this, Sue. I didn't vote for any of the judges. I just left all those blank. I don't know how to make a decision on that. And unless I know the person, I'm probably not voting. So that's something, you know. And the other thing, Rick, we should make clear, you don't have to vote for everything. If you want to leave something blank, you can do that.
That's correct. And one man told me, he said, I only voted for the candidates and the issues I knew. That was 10 out of the 45 on his ballot. And the ballot, when the ballot is, you put it in to be scanned, it will kick back out. If you didn't fill out a whole side of the ballot.
Oh, okay. In case you forget.
Ballot, and it'll give you a chance to push the button, cast as is, or pull out the ballot and finish doing it. And it'll also kick out if you voted for more than one person or one yes or no on a particular item, because it'll say you've overvoted. And what you can do is put an X through the one that you didn't want, and then it'll scan back in. And you have to hit the button, cast the ballot as is.
So let's say you sit down with your ballot and you accidentally fill something in, and you want, like, let's just say it's Amendment 3, you voted no, you wanted to vote yes, or vice versa. What in that circumstance, you go up and ask for another ballot, or do you put the X through it like you said?
Well, a couple of answers to that. We normally recommend on election day, go back and get a new ballot, okay? Because it'll count your that race on your ballot as an overvote. It won't count it yes or no, because it sees marks in both blocks. On absentee, when in satellites and here, you can put an X through it. And what happens is, when we get those ballots, every day we pick up the ballots from the satellite locations and, of course, here, and we scan them back in our tabulation room, and we adjudicate any the scanner will stop when it gets to a ballot like that, and we'll see what the intent of the voter was, and we'll mark it on the ballot. So we can do that here, but that's only before the election day.
I gotcha. Okay.
When we're processing all of these absentee ballots. And by the way, Mark, we are on track with this trend to have more early voting than we had in 2020, which I never would have predicted.
Well, it seems like a lot of folks that claim that they didn't like early voting are embracing early voting. So that's part of it. And I'm a fan of early voting. So I have embraced it, and I think people should do this. Are you actually, this might be a point of confusion, are you counting these votes right now? They're being tabulated and kept somewhere, the numbers, or is that not how it works?
No. We don't tabulate anything until 7 p.m. on election night. Okay. We take the thumb drives out of our scanners in the back room, plus the thumb drives that are coming from the polling places. We put those into the tabulation computer in our tabulation room, and we start to tabulate it at 7 p.m. on election night.
Okay.
And that's why we'll have, by 7:45, hopefully, we'll have all of the absentee results reported out to the public. And in 2021, it was, in 2020, it was 221 votes we reported out. This year, it's going to be higher. I think if it stays this way, it could be up to almost close to a quarter of a million, 250,000.
Wow. Yeah, that is interesting. And, you know, typically, I'm not asking you to weigh in on this, Rick, but typically, you know, when I'm sitting here on election night and you're looking at absentee results coming in, it's a little dangerous to glean any, you know, indication of how the vote might go. But in this situation, with so many people voting, I'm not so sure you might not have a little bit of a gauge on those early returns.
Yeah, it's hard to say. In 2020, clearly the Democrat voters voted early. When we reported out those absentee ballots, the Democrats were ahead in every race in the county. By the end of the night, as the people who voted on election day, those results came in. The tide had turned on most of those races.
I gotcha.
And Republicans won. But this year, I know a lot of Republicans are voting early. I know. So it's hard to say. We'll see. On election.
Yeah, we're going to find out soon enough, right?
Yeah, we will.
Well, thank you, Rick, for giving us the update this afternoon. We may even have some further questions as we move along. But all of the absentee, the early voting, will take place through Monday? Is that accurate?
Yeah, the hours are 8 to 4:30 at all 14 of our satellite locations, Monday through Friday. Saturday is 9 to 1. And then on the day before election day, it's 8 to 5.
Got it. Thank you, Rick Stream. Keep us posted.
You will do, Mark.
All right. There's some things going on out there. Like there's a bunch of Twitter activity about something that's happening in Pennsylvania today where they had long lines and the cops came in and said, well, the line's going to stop at 2:15. Now, I don't know enough about that to say that there might be shenanigans going on, or is it a situation where they have to gauge this and say, look, if you're in this line past 2:15, you're not going to get there by whatever time they close. So it could be something like that.
I see what you mean.
So I want to be cautious with stuff like that because I see a lot of people that are, you know, posting things and sometimes I think things that might look like malfeasance, there might be an explanation for them. I just say maybe kind of keep an open mind on everything that's happening because some of this is very new. Paul Morrow from theopsdesk.org, he was at Madison Square Garden for that big, you know, misogynistic, xenophobic rally. He'll report the truth coming up. And my voter guide at 5:30 can give some recommendations, run down that ballot.
Get more at 971talk.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.